This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We all need reminders. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, ذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That remind them, because the reminders benefit the believers. And it's interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that the reminders benefit people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the reminders benefit the believers, meaning those who are mu'minun, those who have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even those people, they need reminders from Allah azza wa jal. And inshallah ta'ala, this conference as a whole, but especially this topic and this session today, I'm hoping with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this topic inshallah ta'ala, this session will serve as a reminder, like I said, not only for all of you, but for me as well. I want to start off inshallah ta'ala with a story. Something that happened to me, and this is a very, for me, it's a really odd story, something that happened to me, and I actually talk about this in my class as well, the fiqh of chillin, but I thought it to be important to share with all of you, because there is a big lesson in this story. And this basically is this one time when I was traveling from D.C., where I live, Washington, D.C., Maryland. I was on a flight from D.C. to Minnesota, and I believe it's a couple-hour-long flight, and during the flight, we started to experience some turbulence. And now, because I fly a lot, usually turbulence doesn't faze me. Like, it's no big deal. I'm used to it now. And I remember once I even talked to a pilot, and I asked him, I'm like, listen, what's the deal with turbulence? Like, should we be scared, or is it something to worry about when you hit turbulence on the plane? And he said, you know what? Turbulence is nothing to worry about. You're just hitting pockets of air. And so, the plane gets a little bit, it shakes around, and just as long as your seatbelt's on, you'll be okay. And he said, you only have to worry if you, like, run into something, right? So, like, you run into a mountain or something, like, that's when you have to be scared. But he's like, but most likely that won't happen, like, so far above the earth. And then he said that this type of this turbulence you experience right now, you never have to worry. Right? And I was like, okay. And so until that moment when I'm on this flight, I was thinking about what this pilot had said. So we hit some turbulence, and I was like, no big deal. Alhamdulillah. It's just some pockets of air. Until the plane started to free fall. And what I mean free fall, I mean it literally started to free fall. It was just dropping out of the sky. And it free fell for about, I think it was about 3, maybe 4 seconds. And I know you're thinking, you know, that's not a long time, like 3, 4 seconds, what's the big deal? Wallahi, when you're falling out of the sky, 3 or 4 seconds is an incredibly long period of time. And I remember, subhanAllah, as we were falling from the sky, I gripped my seat, started saying my shahada, and what I realized is that everyone around me is freaking out. Like, people are losing it, and then I hear people going, Lord Jesus, please save me. And I'm like, Ya Allah, don't let me die with these people calling out to Isa alayhi salam. But what I realized in that moment right there was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our lives, continually gives us signs. And sometimes the signs are like big signs, like major signs. And for example, falling out of the sky, that's a major sign. And when we experience death, when we experience loss and all that, those are major signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in our daily lives, almost on a daily basis, we are given signs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind us of our mortality, to remind us that, you know what, we're not going to be here forever. And our life on this earth is going to be shorter than what most people imagine. And I'll give you just another analogy, another thing that will help you make real what I'm talking about, and that is the issue of, I know you may find this a little bit strange, but the issue of paper cuts. How many of you have ever experienced a paper cut in your life? Okay, most of the room. Now, even in paper cuts, subhanAllah, there's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'll tell you what that is. First of all, paper cuts are very, very interesting, because if you were to go to someone who has never heard of a paper cut, like they don't know that there's a such thing as a paper cut or whatever, and you were to say to them, I got a paper cut the other day, they'd be like, what? Like, you got cut by a paper? Like, how can a paper cut you? And imagine, like, they've never, ever experienced it before. So to them, it's like, you know, it's a piece of paper, like, I can tear it. It's so weak. Like, what's the big deal? It's just a paper. But in a paper, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us vulnerable, right? To the point where we would never expect something so weak to harm us, but something so weak, and as you know, it can be incredibly painful. And that's the first thing. The second thing is that every time you experience a paper cut, what do you tell yourself? Right? after some expletives probably, you say to yourself, never again. Right? Like, oh, you got me this time. It's never going to happen. Wallahi, it's never going to happen again. The next time, I'm going to be very, very careful. And what happens? You get a paper cut again. So you tell yourself, you remind yourself that I'm in control of the situation, that I next time I flip the page, I'm going to be very careful. And you do that for a while until you forget that a paper can harm you, and then lo and behold, you get another paper cut. And when you get a paper cut, subhanAllah, it's like this tiny little cut, but it bothers you, and it's painful, probably more painful than like someone punching you in the shoulder or something. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a paper cut, reminds us that, listen, you're not in control. The reality is that you think, you perceive to be in control, but the reality is that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls every single aspect of our life. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that we will go through some hardship, or we will go through some pain, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that our life is over, that's what's going to happen. And there is nothing you can do to control that situation. And if you're ever in doubt about it, think about how you thought that the paper cut could never harm you, but indeed the paper cut harmed you. And subhanAllah, I remember yesterday, I was trying to take a nap. I traveled here, and I was trying to take a nap. I was like, let me get an hour nap in. And I laid in bed. It was here in this hotel. And I closed my eyes, and I tried really hard to fall asleep. And I was like, I really need to get just an hour's worth of sleep. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll be good to go for this late night session that we had. And I laid there, and I could not fall asleep. And then once again, I start to think about it, and I thought to myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding me once again that you're not in control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know in the Quran, when he talks about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, that there are ayat, there are signs within yourself, in your own self, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Do you not see, do you not contemplate and think about what is happening here? And subhanAllah, the difference between someone who is conscious of death and their mortality and how weak they actually are and someone who isn't, is that the one who is conscious of it is simply just paying attention. Because all you have to do is just pay attention to everything that is around you. And subhanAllah, we live in a time now where we see major world events on a daily basis. We see hundreds of people being killed. We see a storm come in. We see a tsunami. We see all these things where technically these are things that are supposed to bring us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we've become so desensitized to these things. We see people being killed around the world in wars and this and that. And it doesn't even faze us. Right? And the reality is that we're being disconnected from what we know to be true. And the thing about death is, the thing about dying, is that this is a fact that nobody will deny. It doesn't matter what faith you belong to, whether you're Muslim or a Jew or a Christian, even if you're an atheist, even if you deny the existence of God, right? You're like, I don't believe in God, even you will acknowledge the fact that you will die. Not only that, you will acknowledge the fact that you will die and you don't know when you're going to die. And this is a reality for us. But it's simply a matter of us reminding ourselves and taking heed and looking into and paying attention to the signs that are around us. So inshallah ta'ala, I have 4 points for you. How many people are taking notes, by the way? How many people are taking notes? Okay, alhamdulillah. I have 4 points for you, inshallah ta'ala, on what death actually does for you. Right, so 4 things that how death actually benefits you. And I know people tend to think about death and they're like, you know, why are you being so morbid? Why are you always talking about death? Inshallah ta'ala, there's benefit for us in discussing this topic. So 4 things. Number one, the first thing thinking about death, the first thing it does for you is that it helps you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَكْثِرُ مِن ذِكْرِ حَاذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. He said, increase in remembering the destroyer of desires. And then he said, الْمَوْتِ. He said, death. He said, this is something that will immediately put a stop to any type of worldly desires or any type of desires that are in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will immediately put a stop to it. And this is actually a very, very powerful thing in the scholars of the past. Talk about this. Ibn al-Qayyim, for example, he talks about how when you're in the moment, when you're about to commit a sin, there is an internal struggle that takes place. And the internal struggle is this. Do you value this desire that you're about to fulfill more, or do you value your akhirah, your hereafter more? What is more important to you? And if the dunya wins out, and if in your mind, if your heart, the dunya is more important, you'll fall into that sin. And if the akhirah is more important, and you think about the akhirah, and the akhirah is real for you, then in this moment you will stop from committing this sin. And so when the Prophet ﷺ says, increase in remembering the destroyer of desires, he is telling us that every single time that you are put in a position where you're about to commit a sin, all you have to do is think about your mortality. All you have to do is remind yourself and say, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may take my life before I'm ever given the ability to make tawbah from this sin. And that is a very, very powerful thought. And the person who is given the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to think about that in the moment of sin, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been incredibly merciful to this person. Because the reality is a lot of us, we kind of pass that stage. We're almost in a state of ghafla. And ghafla is basically when you're heedless, when your heart, in a state of ghafla, your heart basically learns that every time that internal debate or discussion is taking place, you're always going to pick the dunya. And so your heart learns that. And so the next time you're approached with a sin, that struggle doesn't even take place. It doesn't happen. So it's just like your heart knows that you're always going to pick the dunya anyway. And so you don't even have that discussion. Right? So going back and pulling yourself back to the concept of, you know what? This may be the very last chance. This may be the moment of sin that I have right here. Maybe the very last moment that I have on earth. Number two, it helps us, remembering death, helps us realize the purpose of life. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That the one who created life and death to test you and to see who amongst you are best in their affairs or best in their deeds. And every time, subhanAllah, once again, every time we remind ourselves of death, we're reminded that, you know what? My life is not only short, but it's unpredictable. It's incredibly unpredictable. And all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked of me is that we die in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I die in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time you have that thought, it will push you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I haven't created man nor jinn except for the purpose of my worship. Meaning this is the most important thing that you can be doing in life. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you think about death and when you think about your mortality and you start paying attention to the signs that are around you, in that moment, it will bring you back to the purpose of your life. Number three, it helps us realize the true value of this life. The true value. And that, my brothers and sisters, is that this life, the dunya, the worldly things, are worth actually nothing. And you want to know the true value of life? Ask someone who is on their deathbed. Ask someone who has been given the news that you don't have too much longer to live. And I know a lot of us, we have people in our lives who are suffering from cancer, for example, or any life-threatening disease or a terminal illness, and you go talk to them and you ask them how they feel and what is going on, and they will tell you, really, subhanAllah, this life that I had went by so fast. And everything that I was chasing in my life, everything that I thought was important, all of a sudden is not important anymore. The things that I thought were so important to me, whether it be material things or this or that, things that my priorities that were completely different before I was given the news of death. All right. So once again, when we think about death, it'll make the reality of the dunya come to light. It will make us realize what this dunya is truly worth. And as we know, the Prophet ﷺ, when giving an analogy for this dunya, he said the worth of this dunya is like when one of you takes your finger and they dip it into the ocean. And if you've never been to the beach, if you've ever been to the ocean, you go there, you look out, as far as your eye can see, there's water everywhere. And you begin to realize how vast this ocean is. And the Prophet is saying, dip your finger into this ocean and take it out. And the wetness or the dampness that you have on your fingers or your finger, this is the value of the dunya compared to the akhirah. Meaning the akhirah is like that ocean. Paradise is like that huge ocean, and all that you've taken out of it is pretty much nothing. And he says, this is the true value of this life, or the things that we chase after in this life. Number four, it ensures that we die in a state of submission. It ensures that we die in a state of submission. Like I said, if we are thinking about death, then we will be in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't want you to think, by the way, that just being in a state of submission just means that you're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I mean by a state of submission is that you're living your life in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every conscious moment that you have in your life where you make the conscious decision that I'm living my life in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, that do not let death come upon you except that you are in a state of submission. And I know some people may think of that and say, you know, I guess I should be praying when death comes to me. That's not the case. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends here, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means here, is that make sure you're living your life in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when death comes upon you. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, and I know time's a little short, but I wanted to leave you with four things that you can do that will remind you of death or help you think of death. Number one, attend the funeral prayers. And I know every single community, every single masjid out there, there are janazas that are happening constantly. And I visited many different communities, and oftentimes I see that it is quite often that there is a janazah that is taking place in the community. And oftentimes, subhanAllah, I've witnessed these prayers where people stand there and they pray, and it's just like any other salah. And it's really interesting because when the companions describe how the janazas, the funeral prayers used to be at their times, they would say that when we would pray janaza upon someone, there would be this type of eerie silence. And that silence was there because each and every person who was attending the janaza prayer, they would be thinking about their own death and their own mortality in that state. And that is one of the reasons why we attend the janaza prayer. Not just, yeah, of course, we want to make dua for the person who's deceased and give our condolences to the family and all that. That is great, alhamdulillah. But for you as an individual, that is another sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is another sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to think and realize that inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That certainly we all came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will all certainly return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, visit the graves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُنْتُ نَهِيتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. He said, I had forbidden you from visiting the graves. He said, وَلَكِنْ زُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْمَوْتِ. He said, however, visit the graves because the graves remind you of death. And so it's not just about the janazah prayer, and that is good, alhamdulillah. But the moment when you're standing there and you're pouring dirt upon someone who you were talking to just a day ago or just moments ago for some people, that is a very, very powerful spiritual experience. And subhanAllah, even in those type of situations, if you have someone who is talking about worldly things, you need to take it upon yourself and remind this brother and remind this sister and say, you know what? This is a moment in our life where we're supposed to be going through an intense spiritual experience, when we are actually physically reminded of our own death because we are physically putting this person into the ground. And we're thinking about the fact that one day this will be me and people will be burying me. And one day I will have to be accountable for everything that I did in life. And that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise me back up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me about how I spent my life. Number three, take time to contemplate. And this is why I started this talk today with the issue of simply paying attention to all the ayat, all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I mean by take time to contemplate is take moments out of your day where you're doing nothing but contemplating life and contemplating death and thinking about your own mortality. Wallahi, if you were to sit for just a couple minutes and look at yourself and look at your own bodies and look at how weak you actually are and how you're not in control, that would remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would remind you of how weak you actually are and how in the end of the day, you're actually not in control. And subhanAllah, you know, I know there's a certain amount of dhikr, a certain amount of remembrance that we all do. Most of us at least. We sit after prayer and we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even during the prayer and all that. If you can't take out those moments of your day to contemplate death, at least contemplate death when you're making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? When you say subhanallah, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're praising Him because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can give you life, and it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will take your life away. When you say Alhamdulillah, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you're saying thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability in this moment to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For how many people are out there at this single moment making dhikr and thinking of completely different things? Lastly, you say Allahu Akbar, you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything you have in your life. Any type of attachment you have to this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than that. And your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worth more than anything that your heart may be attached to. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, and this is a practical piece of advice I have for everyone, inshallah ta'ala. Make a list of reminders. Make a list of reminders. And I believe every single Muslim should have in their life, if not moments of contemplation, they should have a personal journal. Where when they experience things in their life, when they look around and they're seeing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they write them down and they contemplate this. And this, subhanAllah, this was the way the scholars of our past were as well. Many of our scholars, they had their own personal journals where every time they experienced a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time they came across something that they thought was amazing or spiritually uplifting, they would write it down. And so when a time comes when you're just sitting there and you can't think of anything, you open up your journal and you open up your diary and you begin to, once again, you have a tool to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, I'll leave you with this one thing. And that is that, you know what? As Muslims, and I know sometimes people, as I said before, people will accuse us of being morbid people. People will say, you guys are so morbid, you're always talking about death. What's the deal here? I remember, subhanAllah, when I was in college and I was trying to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was starting to practice Islam. I was speaking to my friends one day who were non-Muslims. They were not close to Islam in any way. And because this is an issue that I was struggling with, I posed it to my friends. And I said, do you guys ever think about death? Because this is something that I was struggling with. I was thinking about death now for the first time in my life. It was something which I actually started to contemplate. And I asked them, I said, do you guys think about death? And they said to me, no, not at all. And I said, why? Why do you not think, like, don't you believe that you're going to die? And they said, of course we believe we're going to die. And they said, it's just such a morbid thought, though. It's such a depressing thing to think about death. Why not just enjoy the life you have and have fun until you die? And in that moment, I realized, subhanAllah, that the reason why people think this way about death is that they don't understand death properly. As a Muslim, our view of death is that our death is not the end. And this is how a lot of people tend to think about death, where your death is the end. It's the end of the journey, it's the end of your story and all that. For us as Muslims, our death is a transition to a better life. And for us, it's a beginning, the birth of an even better life. A life unlike we can ever imagine. A life unlike we can ever think about. The type of pleasures that we can never even imagine. That is what death is for us. And death, so when we look at death, and when we think about death, it's not only the fact that, yes, it keeps us detached from the dunya and it helps us get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death also encourages us to think of the akhirah and for us to remind ourselves and say, you know what? There is an amazing life waiting for me in the akhirah. And everything that I'm going through in my life, all the trials and the struggles and the problems and this and that, everything that is happening will pass by in the blink of an eye. And I have waiting for me, inshallah ta'ala, a life which is absolutely amazing. So I want to leave you with that, inshallah ta'ala. Don't think that death is a morbid thing or a negative thing. For us as Muslims, it is something which actually opens our hearts and makes us free. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.